Hello, everybody. Good evening. How are you doing? It's been a hot minute since we've done the live stream. So I appreciate your patience. Already people chiming in. Manuel saying good evening, everyone. David and Mary Jane, welcome back, Jay. Hey, guys, it's good to be here. As you can imagine, I've been very busy. But let me know. Make sure that you can hear me okay, you can see me okay. Because it's been a while since I fired this bad boy up. So I want to make sure that I didn't miss anything. Nick says, good evening, Jay. Great to see you, my friend. I'm curious about your take on the disinformation board created recently when you get a chance. So lots to talk about tonight. I want to give you an update on the campaign. I want to share with you something that I'm very excited about. That is happening this Saturday, and I hope you will join us either online or in person. I also want to share with you my thoughts on the leak from the Supreme Court. There's two different issues here. There's the leak and then the potential decision from the Supreme Court. I'd love your feedback on both of those things. What else? Oh, I might tell you about an interaction I had with an elected official this weekend while I was campaigning in St. George. And this conversation became very heated at one point. But logic and reason ruled the day, and it actually gives me a lot of hope. And tells me that maybe we can have an impact and make a difference. But do me a favor, first of all, let me know where you are listening in from. Say hello to everybody. And I will start off by letting you know that this Saturday, we're doing something that we're calling the J-Macathon. Now, if you look in the description of this broadcast, you will see the date, the times, and the place. And here's what we're going to do. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to do a 12-hour marathon live stream on Saturday. Starting at 10 a.m., going till at least 10 p.m. We will be near Pioneer Park in Salt Lake. At a local business, the RV will be there. JMAC Mobile Command will be there. And we have lined up a bunch of special guests that will be joining us. A lot of the conversation will be about the dysfunction in our federal government right now. But we'll also be interviewing a lot of the members of the United Utah Party that I want to get to know, that I want you to get to know. But I'm also very excited to let you know that those of you who started listening to me about 12 years ago when I came to KSL News Radio on a show called The Browsers, you remember my co-host, Amy Iverson, who we were on the air together for 5 years on that program. Well, she's going to join us this Saturday at 1 o'clock on the JMAC Marathon. We are going to do a reunion of that show. It's still the most common thing that I get asked about. Whatever happened to Amy? Why did the show stop? You know, those types of things. So she's going to come on the program, and we are going to do a Browsers reunion at 1 o'clock on Saturday. Now you can either come out and see us, the address is in the description, or you can just tune in to our social media where you're listening or viewing right now, and you can participate that. And I am really looking forward to it. Amy and I have not done anything like this since the day she left the program. So I hope you're excited about that. We will take your live questions. So I'm very excited about that. And then at 4 p.m., Evan McMullen is going to join us. And here's the idea. So we figure that we're going to have to do something bold and unique and fun to get people's attention. So I've never, ever done a broadcast longer than 5 hours. as far as being on the radio. And that's 5 hours with commercial breaks. I am committing to go 12 hours to fight for what I believe. And yeah, there'll be some small breaks. But for the most part, I am planning on powering through 12 hours to raise awareness about the important issues facing this country and how those issues are not being addressed by the two major parties, because they're way too interested in keeping us divided so that they can manipulate us and raise money off of us and get our vote, but never actually solve the major issues of the day. So it's time that we do something different. So you'll be able to, again, join us starting at 10 a.m. on Saturday through social media, or I would love it if you would come by and see us. At 8 p.m., Ethan Millard from the Nightside Project, remember the old Nightside Project on KSL News Radio, he will be joining us at 8 p.m. So we've got some fun stuff, spattered through the J-Mac-a-thon on Saturday. But we're also going to talk about the most important issues of the day. We're going to talk about inflation. We're going to talk about energy policy. We're going to talk about the abortion ruling that appears to already have been decided by the Supreme Court. We're going to talk about the environment. So we're going to lay out my common ground solutions for all of these things over the course of 12 hours. Now, I've got a plan to stay hydrated. We don't even know if the social media platforms are going to let us broadcast for that long. So, if we got cut off, then we'll just log back in and we'll keep going. But I'm very, very excited to bring you this. It's going to be a lot of fun. Ronald Clay on Facebook says, long time since I commented. Hey, Ronald, it's great to have you here. Thank you for joining us. Barbara joining us from St. George. Barbara, we were just in St. George this last weekend. We were in the Cotton Days Parade in Washington. I met with the Washington City Council and other elected officials. It was a lot of fun. It was a quick trip. We will definitely be back down there again. Let's see. Manuel says, man, you're knocking it out of the park. Get Doug and Grant, and we'll have a full set. I don't know if I could get Doug on because he still does a TV show with KSL News Radio. But definitely we'll try and get Grant Nielsen on. David says Twitch will certainly let you, and we will be on Twitch for those 12 hours. I think Facebook, at least 8 hours. We've been looking into all of this. But it's something new, and if it works out, then we're going to do it again. We'll do a marathon in a J-Mac-a-thon in Tooele. We'll do a J-Mac-a-thon in southern Utah. We'll do whatever it takes to try and get people's attention. So I'm very excited about it, starting this Saturday at 10 a.m. Oh, and it's also a fundraising event, of course. You should see the gas bill from driving the RV down to St. George. Wow. Average gas was about $4.50 the whole time. We did save some money because we stayed in the RV, so we didn't have to pay for hotel or anything like that. But wow, that was quite the gas bill. And so we need your donations. So here's the way the donation piece of the puzzle is going to work. I've committed to do 12 hours up front, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. with all of those special guests. But for each donation that we receive on Saturday that is $10 or more, I will broadcast for an additional 10 minutes on top of the 12 hours. And we will have medical professionals standing by. I don't know if I'll be brain dead. I don't know if I will develop a migraine, but your goal should be to keep me on the air as long as possible. And I'm I'm going to do whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. So again, Saturday, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. minimum. And then every donation that we receive throughout the day of $10 or more will add 10 minutes to the broadcast. There are those who are saying they want to keep me on the air for 24 hours. I don't even know if that's humanly possible, but I am prepared to do whatever it takes. So that's this Saturday. So I'm very excited about that. Let's see. St. George. Well, so it was, we drove down on Wednesday. We stopped all over the map on the way down. So we stopped in Delta, in Fillmore. We spent a day and a half in Cedar City. We were in Washington. We were in, we were in Milford. We were in Minersville. We were in so many places in St. George and met so many people. And I have to tell you that the reception was warm, and we really enjoyed the parade, having the JMAC Mobile Command in the parade, handing out candy. That was a lot of fun. I did have several opportunities to meet with elected officials in Southern Utah. And my goal in meeting with these officials was not to get their endorsement. My goal was to find out what issues they face and that are unique to Southern Utah. And I learned a lot. We talked about water and how Southern Utah, it's the only area that relies on one water source. They only get water from the Virgin River. I asked several elected officials about how they feel with the redistricting and being grouped in with urban areas. And I asked, because I wanted to know, I had heard people say that it doesn't make sense to have rural areas with urban areas because the vote of the rural gets overpowered. And I spoke to several elected officials, and they said they feel that they are represented well and that that is not a major consideration. And that was different than I was thinking. So that's why these trips are so important. Now, I will tell you that on the way down, we had volunteers schedule the whole Southern Utah trip for us. And I was scheduled to have dinner with a couple of county commissioners, a mayor, actually two mayors, and an individual. I'm not going to tell you this individual's name or what elected position they have. But I was warned over and over again that this person is going to be difficult. They are like the number one Trump supporter in Utah. He will go after you, and he will not relent. And people are like, "Do you want to meet with him?" And I'm like, "I will meet with anybody. Anybody who is willing to sit down and talk about their beliefs, I will do so. And hopefully this person will be able to keep it respectful." So I ended up in a meeting with this person and several other elected officials. And sure enough, this guy finds out that I left Republicans, that I'm doing United Utah Party, and he starts in, you know. And he clearly had not considered a lot of the things that, you know, I think this guy was used to just running over people. And you know me, I'm not here to be run over, but I'm not going to participate in his name calling or anything else. And there were several things that he brought up and I countered, and he would just move on to the next thing. And I'm like, wait a minute, we're not going to acknowledge that I just explained the point to you, and we're not going to. So he's kind of playing those games. We get to a point where we're talking about Evan McMullen, and he is attacking Evan McMullen. Now, I've had the opportunity over the past several months and before, having interviewed Evan, having known some people who worked on his campaign before and now, I've gotten to know Evan pretty well. And this guy was calling Evan McMullen a fraud. and even at one point called him a bastard. And I'm like, why do you feel that way? And he's like, he's just a fraud. He's just this. And I said, tell me where the fraud is. And he couldn't do it. But he kept calling him a fraud over and over again. And I'm like, give me one example of fraud. Give me. And I said, listen, I know him. I can explain to you some of his decisions. He was clearly angry that Evan ran back in 2016. And he was convinced that Evan was trying to get Hillary Clinton elected, that that was his secret fraudulent goal. And I'm like, what do you base that on? And he's like, it's obvious. And I'm like, I'm here. I can explain to you why he did it. And he just kept going. And I'm like, finally, I said to him, I said, is this really the person that you want to be? Somebody who is going to make allegations, but you can't back them up? You're going to call somebody a bastard, but you can't? And he started to back up because he realized how he sounded. And actually, my wife asked him a few questions as well. And you could just see he was starting to hear himself and the anger and the rage. And finally, he asked me, okay, explain to me why Evan did what he did. And I said, are you going to listen? Because you've already decided who he is. You've never met him. You don't have 1 ounce of evidence to support any belief that you've come up with. All you know is he's running against Mike Lee, and you're a big fan of Mike Lee. So you've decided to create all of these negative things about him. And he's like, okay, I'll listen. And so I proceeded to explain that in 2016, many of us were given an impossible choice. We had to choose between Hillary Clinton and Donald J. Trump. And that was an impossible choice. There were so many of us who felt that we couldn't sleep at night choosing either one of those. And this guy I was talking to is also a big Chris Stewart fan, and Chris Stewart is who I'm running against, so he didn't like me for running against Chris Stewart. And I pointed out to him, I said, do you know what Chris Stewart called Trump in the primary? Do you know what he called him? He didn't know. I said, he called Donald J. Trump our modern day Mussolini and said that he does not represent Republican values in any way, shape, or form. This is how we were feeling in 2016. And so here comes Evan McMullen, who gave us all something that we could choose. And he said, well, you could have just written in somebody's name. You didn't have to do that. And I'm like, you're right, he didn't have to do that. But that was his choice on how to deal with it. Now, what about that makes him a fraud? What about he had no chance. He got into the race late. He had no chance to give that election to Hillary Clinton. So everything you're saying is inaccurate. And I said, and you have an opportunity right here to learn something about the man. And I would hope that if somebody was making accusations against you and somebody who you know goes to bat for you, that that person would at least take the opportunity to listen. And he's like, well, I still don't. And it's funny because at the beginning he was asked, I thought he was going to walk out at one point. And he asked, why did I even take this meeting? I can't believe this. Why are you even running? He hits me with, why don't you run for city council or something? Why are you starting with Congress first? And I'm like, oh, you mean like Chris Stewart started with Congress first? So it was this really interesting thing that happened. I never got him off of his beliefs on Evan McMullen. But he said, why do you think you could create change? Why do you think you can have an impact? And I said, because I've done it right here with you. And you could see the gears turning. I said, you and I are still talking. You were going to leave the room at one point. You've now actually said that you You think that I could make a difference. You understand that I can fight for these things. And it was really interesting because by the end of this conversation, he said he liked me. He said he thought I would do a good job. He still said he couldn't vote for McMullen. But it was fascinating to watch him be challenged on what he was saying and realizing, because ultimately this man is not that person. I think in every other aspect of his life, he's kind. He's not highly judgmental. He's will give people a good shake. I think he tries to do that in his elected capacity. But the nature and the toxicity of today's politics had taken him to a point of emotional rage that was not justified. And when he was challenged on it and was asked to take a look from the outside in, he didn't like what he saw. And in fact, by the end of the conversation, he was trying to make amends. He's like, that guy, that's not really, you know, who I am. I was just really testing you and things like that. And I'm like, okay, all right, whatever. The crazy thing is we parted friends. This guy that everybody warned me out about going to Southern Utah, we parted friends. And I think that if I did win, that we would actually be able to work together, which is remarkable. So I just wanted to share that story with you. I'm crazy. I believe that if I can get somebody to engage in a conversation with me, I think I can make headway. And I think that's what makes me a very strong candidate to go to Washington and try and solve some of these issues, actually work on common ground solutions and get things done. Brad says, preach, Joyce. Preach, Jay, sounding good as always. You know, my voice is not used to talking for long periods of time anymore because I'm not on the radio all day. And so I have no idea how my voice is going to survive the Jay Mackathon on Saturday for 10 hours or more. It will be interesting. I'm going to have to do some vocal exercises or something. But anyway, that was, I really enjoyed the trip. Thank you to everybody down south. We'll be back down. Thank you for the hospitality and the warm reception. It really felt at home. And many of you know, St. George has a unique place in my heart because back on September 1st of 2015, my 17-year-old nephew, Mason Smith, left to go to high school and was never seen or heard from again. And the people of St. George and Washington and outlying areas came together so many times and got involved in the search. And it's just kind of this weird situation where I have these memories of searching for my nephew, and that's negative, but also just this overwhelming gratitude and appreciation for everyone who would show up and search for somebody they'd never met before, just because they feel and understand what you must be going through. So St. George will always have a special place in my heart. We actually went, if you go back and look on Facebook, you'll see that we visited the park bench that had been dedicated to my nephew, and I did a video there. If you're interested in that story or you know, if you ever have any information to share, that's all in that video post on Facebook. So always going down to St. George is an emotional experience for me. And it's one of those situations where you're overwhelmed with gratitude. But you're also, all of those memories come rushing back as well. So anyway, that was my trip. David says, you do actual research beyond the actual Republican-Democrat talking points. It will give you a good advantage. Thank you, David. I think that is one of the hardest things about the world we live in is we're supposed to be all more informed because we have instant access to information, but I'm afraid it's resulted in everybody being less informed because of all the ease of spreading misinformation and the ease of creating a filter where you only see things that match your bias, your confirmation bias. And so we're not challenged anymore. And, you know, we only watch one network that feeds us the news we want. Our social media channels have an algorithm that only feed us information that we want. We block and dislike anything that we don't want to see. And so it really is a strange time. You would think we would be more informed, and I'm afraid we're not. Orion says there was a missing young man that turned up in Summit County a few weeks ago that made me think of your nephew. Yeah, thanks, Orion. It's a weird thing. And I met with, we had dinner with Mason's mom. She still lives in St. George. And it's just a weird thing that every time you hear of another missing person, you, of course, you feel for them, you know what they're going through, and you almost feel like when they find the person, this feeling goes through your heart, like it's not fair. It's not fair. Why do they get to find their loved one? And so it's just a constant reminder, even this many years later. At any rate, thank you. Thank you for your kind words. So any other questions or thoughts on that? And again, if you're just joining us, check the description of this broadcast, because this Saturday we will be live streaming for at least 10 hours, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. And we're going to have a few special guests that I think you might be interested in. Amy Iverson, my former co-host, is going to join us at 1 o'clock. Evan McMullen will join us at, I think it's 4 o'clock. And then Ethan Millard from the Nightside Project will join us at 8 o'clock. We'll be also interviewing other candidates throughout the show. And we will also be, I'm kind of brain dead. It's late. We will also be talking about the important issues of the day. Ronald says that bias extends to search engines. Many times when searching for information, only one side of the issue appears, sometimes not even the side you support. And those search engines are catering to you. Like you said, Ronald, your search history gets stored, your browsing history gets stored, and those search engines start offering up what they think you want. And so there may be something devious there, there may not, but the end result of all of it, the ability to customize everything to your viewpoint and what they think you would want, really is an interesting and difficult challenge that we all have to overcome. David says, have you spoken about the Supreme Court yet? No, David, so you're still in time. We're just about to that point. But I'm going to take a quick drink here before we do. There we go. Yeah, I'm worried about my voice for the J-Macathon. And by the way, you can come out and see us. So the address for the J-Macathon is in the description of where you are watching. And the idea is I'm going to be on the air for 12 straight hours. And for every donation to the campaign of $10 or more, I will stay on the air for at least 10 minutes longer. So who knows how long I'm going to actually be broadcasting. So that's going to be lots of fun. All right, let's talk about the Supreme Court. Screaming banner headline, Politico has a copy of a draft Supreme Court decision, and that draft is Judge Alito writing what appears to be the majority decision to overturn Roe v. Wade. Now, there's a lot of things going on here. There's... a lot to unpack. Now, the first thing I will say is we have not seen the final decision. It appears that this is a final decision. But I will preface everything here because you know me. I don't like the quick knee-jerk response. So we'll preface everything with this is an assumption that that decision is the majority decision. And we'll deal with it in those terms. The first thing that comes to mind is that this document being leaked by the Supreme Court is egregious. And they need to find whoever did it. And that person needs to be terminated immediately. I'm going to guess, pure speculation here, that it was somebody who either really liked the decision, but probably is more likely somebody who doesn't like the decision, wanted this out there. And it's not something that can be tolerated. The Supreme Court cannot function with this type of thing happening. And the Supreme Court was one of those last bastions where leaks weren't happening. And now that's gone as well. I have here statements from Mike Lee and also from Mitt Romney. I agree with both of the statements. Oh, what happened to your comments are way over on the right. Well, I'm not going to mess with it right now. But you should be able to see the text here. Let's see. Senator Mitt Romney said if the draft reflects the final outcome, he supports returning abortion law to the people and their elected representatives. But then he said the breach of the court's deliberative process, however, is an appalling affront to a critical institution and should be fully investigated, and those responsible should be punished. I agree with him 100%. Senator Mike Lee, he said, to violate an understanding that is held for the entire modern history of the court, seeking to place outside pressure on the court and the justices themselves is dangerous, despicable, and damaging. He said, deliberation and confidentiality are vital to the free operation of justices and the judicial system. I totally agree with both of them. I don't care how much you are in favor or against a decision. The feeling is this was done to create pressure, and that just cannot be. Orion says, I betcha it was a justice. Then what? That's a great question. I would be very surprised if you could trace this back to a justice. But in today's world, I mean, my goodness, in today's world, would anything surprise us? The other thing that is being pointed out is that all of the justices that have been added in the last 3 years, when they were all, I believe every one of them, correct me if I'm wrong on this, but I believe every one of them said that they would not vote to overturn Roe v. Wade, which tells you of how much value the Senate confirmation process is. Not much. So that jumps into my mind. President Trump asserting that he would make this happen has got to be celebrating, and the Republicans who support him have got to be celebrating him. I know many people who voted for Donald J. Trump holding their nose with the belief that the most important issue was abortion. and that's why they would vote for somebody who they don't like the way he acts, they don't like the way he treats people, but they could have confidence in his Supreme Court decisions, and Roe v. Wade would be overturned. Those people are certainly also feeling some vindication right now. Orion says, the integrity and viability of the court died when partisans started stacking it with partisans. Yeah, I've told you, I lament that the one branch of government that was supposed to be above it all is not. And we talk about the justices based upon their leaning, and it is another political body. And it's one of the reasons why I would like to see term limits for Supreme Court justices. Back when the Constitution was passed, I think the lifespan of somebody was like 38 years old, average lifespan. Now it's like in the 80s or something. I don't think it was ever the intent of the Founding Fathers for somebody to have, for a president's nominating process and for an individual to have 40 years on the bench. I think it should be like 17, 18 years rotating. And because one of the things that the founders wanted, not all, you can't speak of the founders in a group, but many of them, and I agree with them, wanted a government that was of the people alive, by the people alive, and for the people alive. Not that a Supreme Court justice wouldn't be alive, but you know what I'm saying. I hope you know what I'm saying. So those are just some of the side issues that come into my mind when it comes to this leaked decision that appears that Roe v. Wade will be overturned. I've told you this before. I struggle. Because I do believe in freedom of choice. And so I don't want to take away freedoms lightly. But I also believe that one of the roles of government is to protect the unprotected. And so when it comes to pro-choice, pro-life, those issues bang into each other. They butt up against each other. And it's very difficult. But when it comes to my belief system in a limited federal government, I have never seen constitutional authority for Roe v. Wade. I felt it was an activist decision. And sometimes it's hard to separate away our belief system from the legalities around the Constitution. And there are those who would say it is more important to have Roe v. Wade in place than it is to say, is there constitutional authority for it? And that's not me. I believe that the separation of powers, including the United States of America, that the states are a sovereign authority, with the exceptions granted to the federal government via the Constitution, that separation of power is sacred. And that if you can't clearly state the reason for, the authority for that decision within the Constitution, then it is left for the states. And that is how I have always seen Roe v. Wade. An activist decision taking away states' authority without federal authority to do so. And so with that, I've always believed that Roe v. Wade should be returned to the states. But I've also always believed that that is incredibly problematic. But it is not up to a Supreme Court to make a decision or not make a decision because the outcome would be problematic. It is their job to say, is this constitutional? Does the federal government have this authority? And if they don't, regardless of the impact, it must be returned to the states to handle it. And unless you can fit it under interstate commerce or something else, it belongs in the hands of the states. Now, what bothers me and frustrates me are the unintended consequences of this choice. We already in the state of Utah have a trigger law in place. And many other states, like California, have trigger laws in place. These trigger laws only kick in when and if the Supreme Court overturns Roe v. Wade. So they have no force of law until the trigger occurs. So in Utah, I'll show this to you, Utah's SB 174 prohibits abortions in most cases, but allows exceptions if the mother's life is at risk, if the pregnancy was a result of rape or incest, or if two physicians who practice maternal fetal medicine both determine that the fetus has a defect that is uniformly diagnosable and uniformly lethal, or has a severe brain abnormality that is uniformly diagnosable. This is already codified in our law. The minute the Supreme Court overturns Roe v. Wade, SB 174 will become enforceable law instantly. And California has trigger laws that do just the opposite. So the reason this frustrates me is because every state is now going to have different laws, right? And that's the design. And to me, that's the way it's set up. And if the federal government, I hear Chuck Schumer and other people, Nancy Pelosi, saying we need to pass laws to make abortion legal. In my opinion, the only way to do that, and I think it's obvious once the Supreme Court has decided, is you have to amend the Constitution, the federal Constitution, to allow it. That's the only way you're going to do it. And it's the only right way to do it, so that it is clearly codified in the Constitution. Until that gets done, and we know it's not going to get done, we are now going to live in a country where each state has a different set of abortion laws. And that's just kind of mayhem, you know? People leaving Utah, driving to California. It's just mayhem. And that is unfortunate. I will continue to assert that I believe that what we should all be focused on is getting rid of unwanted pregnancies. That should be the common ground, identifiable goal that we should all have. And that if we put emphasis on that goal, if we put state dollars behind that goal, if we look at studies and research and find ways, then that should be our primary focus now that it's going to return to the states, and it appears that it is. That should be our goal, because you know what? I would really like to focus on and set a goal that no child is brought into this world unwanted. I realize that's not 100% achievable goal. But I think that should be the focus. And I also think that everyone who wanted Roe v. Wade overturned needs to be prepared to fund, to create programs, to do everything in their power to make sure that people who now be forced to carry a child to birth, that we have programs in place to accommodate for that, that we don't just say, oh, we're gonna be pro-life and not deal with the consequences of that decision on that child in the long term. So there's a lot going on there. Manuel says, this doesn't outlaw abortion. It only outlaws it for the poor. The reason why he would say that is because the wealthy can take a trip to another state that allows it. Now, I will tell you that there are states trying to... The other part of this argument is that I hope that once Roe v. Wade is overturned, that these other laws that are in place by Texas and Oklahoma that allow civilians to sue somebody who has aided in an abortion, I really hope that the Supreme Court strikes those down and doesn't ignore them, because those laws are reckless and dangerous. And I'll tell you what some of these states want to do is they want to say that that law, so let's say Texas law that allows somebody to civilly sue somebody who participates in an abortion, they want to make it so even if you go out of state to get that abortion, you could still sue that person. So they're looking to stop the out-of-state ability and travel. And again, any law that allows somebody to sue, to have the enforcement be civil, to me is reckless, and it needs to be overturned. So I hope the Supreme Court will not just let those things stand. David says, but how do you enforce that? Be more specific, David. What particular party are you talking about? Orion says, states are laboratories of democracy. Some champion freedom, others tyranny. I don't see some states getting it right. I don't trust some states to get things right. Yeah, unfortunately, Orion, that is what happens in our form of government. We don't have the ability for the federal government to just assert their authority or assert authority they don't have simply out of fear that states won't get it right. The Constitution doesn't, the 10th Amendment doesn't say states can have their authority unless the federal government fears that they don't get it right. The 10th Amendment says anything not mentioned in the Constitution is reserved for the states. And there's no asterisk there that says unless they're afraid that states don't get it right. That's also unintended consequences, right, of states' authority. And that's why states, I'm with you, Orion, states, there are states who won't get it right. There are states who will err on the other side. And in the name of answering against what Utah does, some other state will be so extreme, literally inviting people from other states to come in. I wouldn't be surprised if you saw something like that. David says, 100% agree. The Supreme Court decision was correct, but Republicans need to adjust to it with new programs. I hope Republicans are willing to adjust to it, but I won't hold my breath. Yes, we need to all be asking ourselves the question, okay, now that this grand goal of getting Roe v. Wade overturned appears as though it's going to happen, we cannot rest there. We need to ask and answer some other important questions. Is there a way to stop unwanted pregnancy? If there is, let's do that above and beyond this law. And is there a way to make sure that, because I have to guess that suddenly we're going to have children born into this world who would not otherwise have been born into this world. That's the stated goal of SB 174, right? Are we going to step up with all of these precious new lives that are going to be brought into the world? Are we going to do more than just protect their right to life? Are we going to recognize the dubious circumstances that many of them will arrive? And will we be responsible? in dealing with those new consequences. I do not believe in my heart that it is enough to just say that life must be carried. We need to make sure that we are making sure that that life has the best possible entry into this world. And so hopefully we can do that. So David is going back saying enforceable, focusing on preventing unwanted abortions. David says, are you advocating for more funding for Planned Parenthood? What I'm advocating for, David, I do this every time before I go on the air, and I went and searched for studies about how to stop unwanted abortions, unwanted pregnancies, and there's plenty of information to be had on both sides of the aisle. So what I'm advocating for, I would certainly support spending of money to figure out ways, actionable, verifiable ways to stop unwanted pregnancies. I did see it's interesting that since Roe v. Wade was passed, abortions had been going down every year. There was another study, and again, this all takes a deep dive to look at. But to me, it's not enough. This is what I'm saying, David. It is not enough to just say you have to carry that child. That falls short for me. Planned Parenthood has such a bad name that is not going to be a viable path. So no, I am not advocating more funding for Planned Parenthood. Orion says, it's like Southern states trying to retrieve escaped slaves from other states. We need to limit other states from pulling that stunt. Ronald says, the federal government is already overstepping boundaries in everyday life. There are many other things that need to be removed from control of that bureaucracy, i.e. Department of Education. I'm totally with you, Ronald. I do not believe the Constitution gives the federal government authority to mess with education on a state level. And just so you know, the federal government knows this. So they don't actually force states to do what they want. They know that would be unconstitutional. What they do is they tax us, they take the money away from us, and then they say to the state, hey, if you want this money back, you will educate the way we want you to educate. Now, I don't believe that that should be allowed. I think that if there is a need for the federal government to distribute funds, then they should distribute funds. But I do not believe they should be allowed to attach carrots that they don't have authority to dabble. That's their loophole. And that, to me, violates the spirit of the Constitution and should not be allowed. If you think that some states need more money for education because of their funding situation, then that's fine. Give those states, distribute that money. But attaching the carrots, basically extorting state governments to do what you want them to do. I don't think those dollars should be allowed to be taken if they're going to be used for something that the federal government doesn't have authority. But the tax code has always been the loophole. Let's see. Manuel says, we definitely need data-based education. David says, okay, thanks, Jay. Yeah. So it's a huge issue. And I just have this fear that states who are pro-life will get this overturned, Roe v. Wade, and they'll wash their hands and they say, we've done everything that we need to do. And to me, that falls short. And then you will see an extreme reaction on the other side where states will just do everything in their power to provide abortion services at any point, and it will the pendulum will swing the other way. David says it's messy either way. Boy, are you correct, David? You are correct. That's why, and he says I agree, it falls short. That's why I wish that we had people who weren't using these as wedge issues, that we had people, I mean, can you imagine, you know, we here's what we have right now in Washington. We have the left saying, no, pro-life and only pro-life. I mean, pro-choice and only pro-choice. That's all that will be acceptable. And you have the right saying, pro-life and only pro-life. That's what will be acceptable. When I believe that in the middle is common ground, I believe that the left would like to eliminate unwanted pregnancies. I don't think the left is, I think what happens is in their zeal to be able to decide what they want to do with their own body, and I completely understand that sentiment, that that they just focus on pro-choice, 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 and the right does the same thing. And right here in the middle, can you imagine if the both sides said, listen, let's figure out how to reduce unwanted pregnancies. Do you think we could create a common goal between both sides and focus on that outcome? That's what I would like to see. But unfortunately, it's not a very good, in today's world, saying, hey, here's common ground, let's work together. It's not a very good fundraising method, unfortunately. If you think it is and you'd like to see me fighting for it, then go to jmacforutah.com and make a donation, because that type of messaging does not generate funds today. And that's why we're only getting more and more extremes, because it appears that we're only willing to give up our dollars when somebody gins us up into fear, hatred, and anger. And that's depressing. All right. I am really losing my voice. David says, love the Yoshi emoji. Yeah, if you like the stream, you get to see Yoshi. I'm supposed to change those every time I go live, but I haven't been going live. So I've fallen down on that. But if you want to see Yoshi, like wherever you're watching. And with that, I'm going to give my voice a rest. Remember, this Saturday, 10 a.m., to 10 p.m., the JMacathon, 12 straight hours of JMac live stream and special guests. Amy Iverson, my former co-host on The Browsers, will be joining us. Evan McMullen will be joining us. Ethan Miller, former co-host of The Nightside Project on KSL, will be joining us. Thank you, Elliot, for liking the stream. You can watch it on Facebook, Twitch, LinkedIn, YouTube. You can also come out and see us. Look in the description of this broadcast and you'll see the address where we will be at. If you want to come out and join us live, you can pick up yard signs. You can pick up JMac t-shirts or just say hello and give me your voice of support to see if I can go for 12 hours. And every donation that we make on Saturday of $10 or more, I will stay on the air for 10 minutes longer. I could be on the air 24 hours straight. David says, thanks, Jay. As always, thank you, David. It means a lot that you're here. I love your comments. Orion says, you're going to need lots of Coke Zero. Yeah, I know. It's going to be quite the day, but we're going big and we're going bold. We're going to do anything we can to raise awareness. So join us on Saturday. Brett says, you better work up to it by doing a few hours a day this week so you can get 12 hours in. I think you're right, actually, Brett. It's like, preparing for a marathon physically. You don't just go out and try and run the whole thing right from the beginning. You start out little at a time, little at a time. Unfortunately, I've been out of practice because I don't have these long stints of talking on a campaign. It's lots of quick conversations, right? So you're probably right, Brett, but I hope you'll join me. And we probably even set it up. I'm not going to promise this yet, but we'll probably even set it up to where you can join the live stream if you want to come in and you want to comment and say hello. I will provide that opportunity as well. So I'm super excited. My goal at this point is to do another live stream on Thursday night, like this one, and then Saturday morning, 10 a.m. I understand if you can't join us for all 12 hours. I don't know if I'm going to make it, but just tune in when you can. Amy Iverson, 1 o'clock. Evan McMullen, 4 o'clock. Ethan Millard, 8 o'clock. And my wife's also going to join us. I think we may have my daughter to join us to talk about her experience as a body collector. You guys really enjoyed that last time. We'll be talking to a lot of candidates for state, local offices, and we will also talk about the important issues of the day. I will provide common ground solutions for the biggest issues of the day. David says, will it be broadcast on KSL? No, unfortunately, it will not. So you'll have to find it on social media. Whew. All right. Thank you for joining me. I'm so glad that I could be here tonight, but I am worried about my voice. So maybe we better call it a day. And again, I look forward to seeing you and hearing from you on Thursday night and on Friday. Go to jmacforutah.com and make a donation if you agree with anything that I've said tonight. Help me bring common ground solutions to Washington, D.C. David says, have a good one. Thank you, David. Everybody, thank you for joining us tonight. With that, I will let you go. Have a great evening. And I'll click end broadcast.